Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, starting with verse 12. You can find this on page 1532 of your pew Bibles. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer. You are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the temple children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," Jesus replied, "have you never heard from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Does effectiveness matter? Does it matter if your actions create grand change or no change at all? Does it matter if people notice what you say and hear you, or if you speak into a void? Does it matter if you are effective or not? Does effectiveness matter? When you read this passage, there's so much that you can miss if you just read the passage and you just read the words and allow your own imagination to fill in the picture. I remember when I was a kid, we had a video, and it was a cartoon of this scene, and Jesus, in that video, he walks into a room, and it's basically the size of this sanctuary, maybe even a little smaller, and he overturns the table and takes his whip of his cords and he whips them all out, and he gets everyone out of the room. And that video, it's very clear that Jesus effectively got rid of all the money changers, all the traders. He cleansed the temple. But when you have that image in mind, you miss something. Because the temple wasn't the size of this sanctuary. The temple in there is not even reflecting or pointing towards the temple building. It was pointing towards the complex, the giant temple complex. When Jesus goes and clears, just imagine this. You have a megachurch, and it is plopped in the middle of a bustling college campus, large college campus. Thousands of people are doing business and doing their religious deals here. And the image we often have of this is Jesus goes and deals with a couple of traders and money merchants. But that's not what happened, because there's so much going on in this temple complex. And so many people's livelihoods depend on Jesus, on these moneymakers, that there's very little that one man could have done. Imagine you're on a 40,000 person campus, and you go in and you start a protest and you drive some people away from where they're at. Do you think your actions are going to have any sort of meaningful, long-lasting consequences? Not really. Jesus, Son of God, divine. But in that moment, he was just one man. He had his protest. He turned the tables of the money changers in that area he was in. He drove them away. And then he left. And he healed some people. And then he left for the night. And the money changers were probably back there before he even left the temple grounds. Does effectiveness matter? Because here's the other thing. There's no way Jesus had a real, true effect on the commerce of the temple, because he would have never gotten out of the temple campus had he had effectiveness, had he actually disrupted the trade in any sort of meaningful way. He had his protest, he did his things. The temple police might have turned a blind eye because there were people that were unhappy with the currency exchange happening in the temple walls. There are people that were unhappy that this trade was happening in the temple walls. But the people who made the decisions, had their businesses been influenced in any sort of significant way, the temple police would not have been able to look away. They would have had to arrested him. He would have had to have been taken captive then and there. But he wasn't. Jesus had his protest. He overturned the tables. And nothing changed. The temple didn't stop being secularized. The temple didn't stop being this home of transactional faith. Because when you consider when Jesus says this den of thieves, he isn't talking about where thieves rob. Thieves don't do their work in their dens. Their dens is where they're protected from the consequences of their thieving. And so, when Jesus says that the temple has become a den of thieves, it's because it's become so transactional. Like I said, the merchants were there to provide. They were there to provide the sacrificial lambs and the birds and what is needed. But, and it's a good thing, but it'd become transactional. You could just go in, pay your money, get your sacrifice, and you are saved from the consequences of your sin. The temple had become transactional faith. And was Jesus effective in that? No. That transactional faith went right along. This new church, the Christians that Jesus formed, transactional faith followed them. Even now, we have this transactional faith. Jesus overturning the tables did not have much of an effect. Is effectiveness important? I was reminded of the story of Anthony Burns. He was a slave in the 1850s. He escaped to Boston, and they arrested him. And they were going to return him. And the abolitionists protested. They protested nonviolently, they protested in the courts. Even some of them resorted to violence and attacked the courthouse. They worked really hard. Thousands of people responded to the case of Anthony Burns. And Anthony Burns was returned to the South. Thousands of people wanted this man to keep his freedom because slavery is evil. Thousands of people protested and rebelled against this. And Anthony Burns was returned to the South. Yes, their actions started a national conversation. Yes, you can point to this being one step at the end of slavery. But in that moment, the abolitionists likely had a net negative effect on the situation. Somebody lost their life, and Anthony Burns was still returned to slavery. Does effectiveness matter? Hopefully, you can kind of see where we're going here. Do we degrade Jesus' actions? Do we celebrate them less in this moment where he overturned the tables because it really didn't change anything in that moment? Do we look at the abolitionists, and even if we have to look beyond the violence, do we look at them and say their actions were any less good because they couldn't save Anthony Burns that day? Do we celebrate their sacrifice less because they weren't effective? Do we look at the powerless voices that speak up against evil and say, you're not good enough because no one hears them? Do we look at small actions of protest and say they're not good because no one hears them? And do we allow ourselves to be silenced because we have a powerless voice and our standing up and actions would have no real effect? Does Jesus call us to effectiveness, or does Jesus call us to love? Does Jesus call us to love only when our love will have a visible positive effect, or does he call us to love no matter if that action lands or not? Does he only call the powerful with loud voices that people hear to love, or does he call the powerless and voiceless to love too? Are we called to effectiveness, or are we called to love? I think we're called to love. I think in that moment when Jesus overturned the tables and drove out those money changers, that's in our scriptures. It's seen as a necessary thing, and yet it had no effect. He effected no meaningful change on the temple that day, and yet we celebrate it. So we need to speak up even when we are powerless, even when our voices are weak. We need to stand up against evil and for good, even when it feels like we might as well not. And we need to support those voices who are quiet, who are powerless, who no one hears, and celebrate them for speaking out too. Not because they've done so much, but because they are willing to speak out. We are called to love, not effectiveness. So love. Amen.